Hey everyone, this is AJ, and you are listening to episode number 3 of the Tug and Pull Podcast on tugandpullpodcast.wordpress.com. You can go ahead and send us emails at aj.tugandpull@gmail.com or tugandpullpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. I'm AJ_TNP, and Tiff is at TBrain13. We hope you enjoy listening to these shows, and if you've been listening from the beginning, welcome back. Hopefully this will be the last episode where we have really shitty sound quality, but we got new equipment and everything's sounding good up to the moment. We hope to get all your feedback in, good, bad, whatever, all is good, so make sure you send it us our way. We'll be on iTunes sometime soon, so enjoy.
Coming to you live from the Waffle Twat House Emporium in Los Angeles. Somebody get me a waffle. It's time for Tug and Pull.
Woo! It's
Tiffany and AJ.
Woo! That's right, bitches. Ricky, that was really lackluster. Can you do it one more time with some fervor?
Coming to you live from the Waffle Twat House Studios in Los Angeles. Somebody get me a waffle. It's time for Tug and Pull. With your host, Tiffany and AJ.
Oh, my God.
You keep sneaking that word in.
Which one?
You know which one that I'm not going to say.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
No. Anyone.
Which one are we talking?
House.
The moist word. Stop. All right, before we get into it, we need to introduce our special guest this
actually,
evening.
What's the name of this fucking podcast? Let's talk about
Tug
that
and
first.
Pull?
Tug and Pull.
Tug and Pull.
And we're...
Okay. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Jason's here, too. He's jumping the gun. He hasn't been introduced yet.
You haven't been introduced.
I don't think I was introduced
the last
time.
No, you were not, actually.
I never did. Stop tugging and pulling, okay?
Okay, and then there's Sonia. We're just not going to go in order at all.
Fine, fuck. Sonia, how's it going?
I'm pretty good.
Special guest Sonia making her first appearance on the Tug and Pull podcast. Welcome, welcome.
Jesus, that was loud.
I know. Sitting next to her is Alex, our regular guest on this program.
Hello, how's it going?
Is he a guest or is he just part of us already? Hasn't he just joined the singularity?
I am your computer.
One of us.
Oh, I don't even know.
Whatever.
I just know that their name's not in the beginning.
That's true. Well, now we introduce them properly.
Yes.
And so, last but not least.
Jason.
How's it going?
I'm dying because I'm in the the Twat Waffle House.
Oh my gosh. And
okay.
Formerly known as Pussy Palace.
Your choice, dude. Okay. We've got two names
for
this place.
You know what? And I think we should never leave out nor forget our special guest announcer / I don't know. Is he
tech
the
monkey.
Sound? Tech monkey.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Ricky. We never introduce him.
That's true. But
even though he's like the star of the show.
We always include him in our conversations. So it should
That's
be okay.
True.
Yeah. So we are Tug and Pull. This is our podcast about social commentary, political commentary.
Life and lifey stuff.
Life and stuff.
Basically and anything and everything.
Lifey stuff. That's true. Correct, yes. Jason. Thank you.
And jumping back off from our last podcast, we talked about first world problems. And I want all of our listeners to know that I have gotten my laptop
Woo-hoo!
Back. Yay. I'm
Welcome
now
back.
Connected to the virtual world
Indeed.
Once again. Just for all the people. I'm glaring at Ricky,
Ricky's
but no one
really
can
uppity
see that.
Today.
He's being feisty.
He is.
All right. Well, AJ.
To do.
Yes,
sir. Tiff. I know that you had a special juicy.
Are we going to go in the news?
Let's go in the news.
In the news. So I had how do you call this? I'm sorry. I'm allergic to pussy, really. And so my mind isn't so.
To felines.
My mind isn't really clear right now.
It happens to be cats in the studio.
Lots of pussy. So, in the news, we have from Bloomberg, December 15th, the House Judiciary Committee Chairman Lamar Smith urged U.S. lawmakers to approve Hollywood-backed legislation aimed at stopping internet piracy of movies and goods that Google Incorporated opposes as promoting censorship. This is called the SOPA. Stop Online Piracy Act.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of waffling in the middle. I'm not so sure. Waffling is a term of not being sure
know,
where you want
to
be.
I'm waiting for you to continue.
I
the
won't
term.
Use it yet, but I will use it later.
Okay.
But I can see both sides of the what's the word I'm
issue?
Looking for? The issue, the
argument.
The argument. Thank you, Ricky.
Or debate.
I can see both sides of the debate. On one side, we want to protect our or those who own movie companies and all that. They want to make money. They want to protect their assets and stuff like that.
Correct.
On the other, the way that these laws are being made could very well infringe on our First Amendment rights in regards to how the internet is being dealt with in a law way. What I'm saying here is let me see, how do I want to say this? So there's a debate on 60 proposed amendments to the SOPA Act.
It's the amendments that are getting a lot of the issue.
And they're getting a lot of friction from both sides.
Yes.
Lawmakers on the panel raised concerns that a provision on blocking websites may damage the security of the internet's domain name system and requested a delay to hear technical testimony. So here's the issue. Say you download torrents or whatever or stream movies from a website that is not on U.S. soil. What the how do I get around to this? It is the DOJ, Department of Justice, will tell the courts to tell Google or whomever to stop allowing U.S. IP addresses
to access
these websites. Now the problem here is that's well and good, except this could be a set of precedent to infringe on our First Amendment rights, in that it will pretty much give the government or whomever is complaining about these websites a way to stop traffic, getting internet traffic to these websites.
One of the big issues that I heard about this that's coming from Google and Yahoo and a lot of even internet providers, not only major search engines, right, is that it's basically giving Congress the right and the power to turn off the internet.
Not just Congress. Department of Justice.
The government. Yeah. And there was a big thing about censorship and allowing people the right to access certain websites, whether or not the Department of Justice deems them as worthy. Right. I don't think anyone is necessarily for piracy.
No, and nobody is.
I think this is a huge step. This is like going above and beyond.
The way I see it, it can set precedent and then pervert what this law is and create new laws that could create problems for our First Amendment rights on the internet.
Correct. And I think that in the past we've seen Napster and LimeWire and other big operations go down because the government has finally stepped in, or the law has finally stepped in and said, this is illegal, you can't do this. And just, you know, there is international law regarding...
Yes, that's true.
...film or art or whatever you want to nail this down as.
Sure, and I can see the DOJ or whomever, they're actually trying to circumvent or actually... They're reaching past their borders, past their, it's their jurisdiction. They're going past their jurisdiction by working within their borders to sort of block these things.
Block international.
By getting Google to say, hey, don't send links to insert BitTorrent website here.
And that's a huge thing for them to be Google technicians. Yeah. You need to block, you know, the next 600 websites in the next hour.
Right.
Or immediately.
Sure. And that just doesn't seem right, because what does the government have to do? What right do they have to tell Google to block search?
To block
websites, right?
Yeah.
Now, on the other side of the coin, Google actually does block websites and block traffic to some sites that are deemed to be malicious. Anything that with phishers and malware or whatever, they do block those sites, but that is for the...
Protecting their clients.
Protecting all those who use their service and those, you know, all
that's not blocking content. That's blocking, like, safety for your computer's hardware.
Malicious websites.
Yeah,
really.
That's going to crash their users. Right. Hardware.
Right. And no, not porn, not any of that stuff.
No.
But really, there needs to be... I can see both sides of the argument. However, so...
I mean, there is a need to do something, but this is kind of like a seatbelt law.
Do we really
need to tell people to buckle up their seatbelt? You know, it's just kind of like you're trying to impose law where either common sense or other forms need to come in. Jason, did you want to say something?
Even out beyond the worries about more paternalistic laws, still have another argument I've read against this is that it's going to push a lot more kind of traffic into there'll be like new black market sort of connections.
Of
and networks.
There will always be a way.
Always.
There'll be another way, and it'll just be more under the radar. It'll be less out in the open, more sketchy, and could make for just a less sort of safe type of internet.
Because for
environment
it's kind of like
on.
The. Was it the 4chan and all those like anonymous websites?
Right, yeah.
For every one that you shut down, another six pop up because you have six people who are like, okay, well, this website's down. I better make my own.
Right.
And people have the resources and the access to create their own stuff. They're not going to circumvent piracy. This is not going to stop piracy. And I think they're really missing the mark on this.
We already have laws regarding this. The DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, that's already put in place. Whether or not the DMCA is working for us, it doesn't matter, because you could just keep putting up new laws like this, the SOPA Act, that'll try to call piracy, that it won't, but you can put 100 laws and still piracy will still run rampant. Yeah. I mean, I work in downtown Los Angeles, and there are people selling fake purses, bootleg movies here and there. You can get rid of them all, but they will all come back. They're like cockroaches. You just can't do anything about it.
For every one that you shut down, there's six more.
Of course.
Because there's the product is made, or the product is copied, or someone puts, like, all those, was it Dolce & Gabbana t-shirts, but they had the little, they take the little lip off the G and make it a C, so it's DC.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it's just ways to circumvent the system.
Sure.
So if they think they're circumventing, like, piracy, it's not going to happen.
Hey, what are you going to do? I thought this was going to be juicier than it was, but, oh, actually, I do have...
Because we agree.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to be, you know...
Don't worry, we're moving on to a life topic in a second.
I do have one more thing. I was on Twitter earlier this morning, and at W. Wheaton, Will Wheaton's Twitter handle, I think Travis knows this one, Will Wheaton of... what was Star Trek, thank you, actually, Sonia. What character did he play on Star Trek?
Crusher.
Crusher, thank you very much.
He's also featured on The Big Bang Theory. Will Wheaton comes...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look at that. Wheaton.
And The Guild, I guess.
When I used to listen to the Nerdist podcast, he was a big old guest on it, too.
That's good.
But I don't love the Nerdist anymore.
So what about Will Wheaton?
He sent out a Twitter, and this is, I think, what the problem is with everyone who complains, such as the Aki Poopers, is that they don't know they don't know where to vent their frustration to.
Yeah.
So here he says, I'm paraphrasing completely, though, but it says, Obama, please repeal the SOPA Act. You should be making laws that are constitutional. But here's the problem. It's just an act that, it's just a bill that hasn't even been passed yet by House of Representatives, who are the ones who set up the bill.
It's not like Obama sat down and he was like, what am I going to do today? I'm going to stop piracy. Yeah, like, I'm just going to write this out all by myself.
Exactly. He's not the one who writes bills. It's the House of Representatives or the Senate or whomever.
There are committees who actually sit down and write these.
This was a special committee of 12 or 13 people.
Yeah.
It's not Obama was like, yeah, let's do this and I'll sign it.
He's like, I've got 3 hours to kill. What am I going to do? Watch a soccer game? No. I'm going to write a bill.
You have to go through the chain of command. At first, if it starts in the House of Representatives, it has to be approved by the House of Representatives, then go to Senate. Am I still right here? Does it still go to Senate?
I'm sorry, I zoned out.
So it goes...
Alex is giving you a thumbs up.
It goes from House of Representatives, then to Senate, then the president's desk for him to either sign it or throw it in his pocket and veto it.
Or he could just veto it. Or just throw it in his pocket. That's a
I like pocket vetoes. Those are cool.
Yeah.
Pocket vetoes?
Pocket vetoes.
That's only if the Congress goes out of session.
Oh, okay. I just like the way it seems. I just see Bill Clinton.
He just wants someone to fold up this big, heavy anthology of this bill and stick it into a suit pocket and just walk away like he did when he announced that Osama bin Laden was killed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll veto this later. Dun, dun, dun. I'm going to walk down this hallway like a sexy motherfucker.
Doesn't it seem kind of awesome, though?
That image I just created was pretty awesome.
I mean, bitching. I mean, I see Bill Clinton doing that shit when he was in office. Just be like, I will not sign this. I'm just going to stick it in my coat pocket.
He puts it in his, like, McDonald's doggy bag, walks down the hallway.
Right next to his little cigar purse.
Tangent.
Wait, why does Bill Clinton go to McDonald's?
Because he's the pimp, dude.
No. This is a true story. When Bill Clinton was in office, he loved fast food. And there were actually, when Bush came into office, when he took over, his administration was pissed because in rooms where the janitors couldn't go, there was just like stacks, like trash cans filled. That's an actual true story. I really did read that. But there was something else I was going to say. Oh, like when you
said something tangent.
Tangent. Is that we were talking about Clinton with McDonald's. He's a vegan now. Did you hear that?
No fucking way.
Yes, he is. What? True story all my life.
He used to be so cool.
Bill Clinton is now a vegan.
Vegan, because I think it had to do with Chelsea. I remember...
Oh, fuck that bitch.
What? Yeah, she wanted him to lose weight for her wedding. a few years back.
And the fact that he had like really high cholesterol and he was okay. His heart was
My uncle is vegetarian for the same reason. That's okay. If it's a health reason, that's fine.
No, it really was a health reason. And yes, Chelsea was getting married and the entire world watched. Not like the royal wedding status, but not as royal. People still paid attention to
hey,
that.
Hey, to all the gentlemen in the room, I guess Tiff too. Is Chelsea hot?
I don't remember what she looks like.
I do believe that she was a late bloomer. Travis?
She agreed, late bloomer.
I don't like that you asked everybody in the room.
Sonia is here too.
You even included Tiffany, but you
I know.
But
you I wasn't so sure if you were going to jump in on it. That's why, Sonia.
Thanks.
What is your opinion?
Well, what is your opinion on it now that you get the microphone?
Well, when her dad was in office, no.
She was a late bloomer.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry.
Definitely
she was now. In middle school and I think stuff. Awkward too. Years.
I think Travis just said that he's now the now Chelsea Clinton is hot.
Everybody goes through Agreed. That awkward stage.
She looked great on her wedding
Travis
day.
Travis and I are still
her.
In our awkward stage. I don't think we're ever going to get out of it.
I don't know if we're going to get out of that, but that's okay.
Okay, let's.
Okay, so if we want to move on to the juicy story that I have.
I've got one more, but yeah, go ahead. I'll go. Actually, this is
yours political?
A little bit of technology, actually, that I like, but DARPA, but go ahead and we'll come back to this one later. I love DARPA, by the way, but no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So we'll just go to the world of television, reality TV, and just stuff in pop culture.
Oh, God.
Do you remember the Duggars?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Okay, good.
So they had a show on, I believe, TLC, and it was called, first it was 16 and counting, then it was 17, then it was 18, and now we are at 19 and counting.
19 and a half. And, never mind, back to 19.
Wait a second. Because the Mama Duggar, what was it, Michelle? She was pregnant with her 20th child and just suffered a miscarriage. The second trimester. Now, that's sad.
You know what's...
Except for when you have 19 other kids that you should be paying attention to.
What sound clip was playing in my head when you said that her baby miscarried? The dog, when he laughs at you in Duck Hunt.
That was good. I'm sorry, that was impressive.
Song. You take one down, you pass it around.
Only 19 babies left
in the hole.
Okay. So just to get in before I go on about the miscarriage, just a little more about the Duggars, if people don't know, is that they started having children later into their relationship when they were married. And for
a
while,
Catholic?
You know, I know that they are religious. I don't know their actual religion, to be honest. But Michelle was taking birth control for a long while until they wanted to start having kids. And on their second child, they suffered a miscarriage, and they believe that using contraceptives and trying to violate God's will was the reason why they suffered this miscarriage. So they have reformed. They're like born again. I'm really not sure if they're Christian or Catholic or anything, but I know that they are very religious and very godly, and they have since stopped using contraceptives, and that's how 19 children happen.
I see. Sounds like a placebo effect. They have more confidence that they're going to have kids. So probably have kids.
And so the problem here,
I'm bleeding behind my ear.
I know I can see you bleeding. I was trying not to not to try to
I felt it trickling out. I'm like, oh fuck, my ear. Move on, I'm fine.
Okay,
my
you're
clean.
Okay,
my blood's clean and I'm fine.
All right, then I'm okay.
Sometimes AAA Red Cross hasn't told me to stop donating, so I'm okay.
I know, we're good. We're good until then.
We bleed for you, tug and pull.
I bleed
for our listeners.
I know, I bleed for everybody.
So this really traumatic experience has caused the Duggars to completely change their lifestyle.
I'm sorry, that was from the second?
Their second child. Okay. I mean, this was a while ago.
So this was number 21, technically.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, this technically was right. 21. But anyway, so when they start having so many children, they devised the buddy system.
How does he fuck her after a while, dude? After three or four, that thing's got to be...
A friction problem here,
well, dude.
What about the vaginal rejuvenation thing? Didn't
dude? If they don't believe in condoms, they do not believe in fucking vaginal rejuvenation.
You don't know that
hot dog down the hallway type of shit.
It really is, and I was refraining from making that statement.
I will if you won't. Tug and pull. I will if you won't.
I think I've been to that place. It's on Magnolia. I think hot dog down the hallway.
No.
I think they have a special every week, don't they?
Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Two for one slide through twice.
BOGO.
BOGO.
I like BOGO.
They have the 6 inches, right? Or is it the foot long?
Oh.
And they got the double foot long at once on Fridays, I think.
The double wides. They're called Airstreams.
So
as good a place as it is, I'm surprised that it's always empty.
Well, you don't see them because they're always taking the back door.
Oh, okay. Oh, because they have a parking lot back there.
Yes, indeed.
They do.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so back to the Duggars. So they have been almost praised by, because they have a lot of fans, and I did not know this. They have a huge website dedicated to their recipes because they have so many kids such a limited income. They have to like make all the stuff themselves and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And also, let's be serious, they're getting a lot of money from their television show.
Oh, I'm sure.
And their fans have praised them for what is known as the buddy system. The buddy system is where an older child mentors is assigned to a younger child, and basically mentors and almost, I dare say, parent the younger child. And we're talking about like 16-year-olds and 2-year-olds.
You know, that's okay, because in the Filipino household, that's sort of how it goes. Your siblings are the ones that are helping you being raised, because sometimes the mother and father are busy
stuff, so. But we're talking about, this is now 19 people with an age span like gapping 16 years. I mean, you're Filipino.
Yeah.
How much older is your half brother?
We're different because it's 9 years. Normally it's closer than that, but
yeah,
my family's, you know, a different circumstance.
When it's six, when it's five,
4 years
in between, that's not a buddy system. That's not you're assigned to this child, your sibling. This is your sibling, so one pals around for the other. The older one takes care of the younger one. That's just kind of, even my sister and I are 2 years apart, and that's just kind of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's weird, but I think assigning one child to another is just kind of odd to me. I don't know. I'm getting a lot of looks from you.
You think it's just viewed as a collective effort to begin with? We've got a really big family. Everyone kind of helps raise the young kids or something like that.
I can see how that works.
You don't have to force.
I'm not against that. That does seem like it. Because how are you going to, how are you two?
Not have 19 kids.
How are you, there's that. But how are you two going to raise these children all by yourselves if the children aren't helping out? See what I mean?
And I do see like this community effort, and I understand what you're saying, but to assign one child to another,
that's
not
weird.
Just have like this
instead of like
natural...
assigning responsibilities.
Yeah,
that makes it more
that's
normal.
That's really what I kind of see it as. Is, you know, I am your mother. I'm going to assign the responsibilities for little Jason to big Jason. Like what?
I see where you don't get it, but I myself can see why they would do such a thing.
Well, you're wrong.
I guess
they're efficient.
There are reasons.
It is efficient.
It's like there are no reasons
to
do
even. Oh, sorry, Sonia, say that again.
You just want like everybody to kind of look out for everybody else instead of just specifically like I am in charge.
Yeah,
this
I do.
Person.
I really think like, you know, Tiffany is assigned to Sonia is just so weird. Like, why can't Jason?
Rather
why can't
than just everyone?
Rather
else.
Than just, okay. You know, we're all siblings. We're all hanging out. And I know that you're gonna like some people, like some of your family more than the others. And if it's kind of this natural selection, if it's kind of just. Who grooves with you more?
Okay,
that's not as weird as just like
that's true. The assignment
on
thing,
Monday,
a little artificial for relationships within a family.
Yeah,
but are
especially
you sure
since they're trying to do this really like natural.
Are you sure that's really what they're doing though, or do you think that's
that,
just
yeah?
Something
no,
for
I
TV?
I read up on this so I could
because it could just be something that they do for TV to get.
But I mean, that's if it's for TV, that's even more harmful because I mean, look at like John and K+8 and all the other reality shows that have switched their lives for TV and just collapsed. Alex, did you want to say something?
I have a little sister. She's about 10 years younger than me. And I agree with you that, you know, I have an older brother and he's about a year and a half or 2 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he and my sister don't get along at all. So it kind of works out that I'm kind of like her like buddy most of the time. And I think if he was assigned to her and I didn't have anything to do with it, like I would probably still help her out just because I was closer to her.
Yeah.
But he probably would hate it because he just didn't get along.
And you can see like resentment building between siblings. And I mean, that's one awkward Christmas.
Maybe since they have 20 kids that they have to like be, okay, well, there's just so many. Like maybe they just can't parent them all.
They can't, and I think that's another problem. But
I don't see why they have to assign anybody. I'd just be like, look after your younger siblings. And
hey, pal around. Don't leave anyone out.
No.
Like, don't leave them at the
now, we can't segue too
something.
Far off because I have another shocking
addition
to this.
But I do have a question here. You said that after their second or the first miscarriage, they decided not to use any protection at all because they think it was God punishing them for using protection.
Correct.
What's their excuse for number 20?
You know what? What they said. Oh, let's see if I have this quote.
It's fucking bullshit.
No, I have this quote.
Because there is no God. There is no God.
No, no, no. It means that God's like, hey, you know, you're not trying hard enough. You right. know, have
right.
30
You
kids.
Know what? Unfortunately, I don't have the quote with me right now, but I did read something to the effect that God will decide how many children
fucking
they have.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a cop-out.
You can always create a reason.
That's just
but
a
I'm,
cop-out.
I mean, in
with anything, it's part of God's plan.
Yeah, I think that's essentially
then
what
that could have been part
was.
Of God's plan for the first miscarriage.
Well,
yeah.
it could
well,
have been
to
part
be
of
fair,
his plan to use the
you know,
contraception.
After every pregnancy, we'd be like, okay, if God wants to stop, then may he strike me down right now. And they just kind of look up, and then they wait.
That's that
then,
kind of...
Oh, nope. Guess
that's that kind
I
of
was right.
cunty cop-out fucking religious bullshit that I can't stand.
Well, not to make this any more awkward than
I'm
it
sorry.
Already is, but there was a funeral.
I know, because I'm bleeding, and fucking I'm getting mad at God, and...
He's punishing you by making you bleed behind the ear.
That's
At
true.
Least it's not your palms.
At least it's not my ball sack.
Or that either.
Okay.
Okay. So I've hid this picture from and the studio audience. Will
is it
actually,
boner inducing?
I don't know. Maybe for you it okay. is.
Somebody, it's got to be.
It's got to be.
Okay.
So for those who are following us and listening, look on TMZ or just maybe Google this
I
image when
TMZ.
We talk about it.
Let me just say now that I love TMZ, and I can't, when the TV's on, I can't look
I
away from it. And I say this all the time, but I really do love TMZ.
Really?
And I don't even give a shit about any of the, what do you call it, any of the celebs or anything. It's just the way they run their show is hilarious to me.
It's fun to watch it at 1:30 live streaming from their website.
Oh.
That's fun too, because it like things go wrong, impromptu conversations,
oh, cool.
like celebrities will call in. It's really fun.
Do you hear them swearing and all that stuff? Do they get them in
no,
by accident?
No, they're actually pretty PC.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And the ladies on the show, I'll
they're
tell
fun.
You what,
they're fun. They do
right,
bets
sorry.
And challenges. Anyway, so something that TMZ reported is that the 20th child, who unfortunately was lost, she was supposed to be Jubilee Shalom Duggar.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Yes. Shalom. So she passed away. And I believe on December 11th, either that's when she passed away or when the funeral was. So to commemorate
oh God,
her time in the womb, Michelle posed with the stillborn's feet.
Oh, yeah.
They extracted oh, wow. the stillborn's.
They did what?
They extracted wow. the stillborn and took pictures of its feet
it.
And hands.
No, of course.
The quote, I'll pass this picture around and we'll get individual reactions to the picture, but it says, the quote above the image holding the tiny feet is, there is no foot too small that cannot leave an imprint on this world. So I'm going to start this off with Ricky, if you want to take a look at this picture, because I know you're giving me a face.
I can understand the sentiment. I understand it.
I think it's misguided.
But that is fucking
just like this entire family.
Creepy. That is creepy.
A little creepy.
You want to pass that to AJ there?
Little ass feet. That's just weird.
And I don't
wrong.
Know if I got the picture because there are multiple pictures that they use. They actually passed these out during the funeral in
show,
Arkansas.
Didn't they also show pictures of the fetus itself, like inside the womb, you know, like ultrasound style?
At the funeral, I don't believe so. I believe it was this picture, this image of the feet, if you want to Google that. There was also one of Michelle holding the little hands. And the problem I have here is that none of this is fully developed. If you really
yeah,
look...
Yeah, so they
the,
look all fucking...
It looks very alien-like.
It was in its second trimester. So
second trimester, not a full human being. It wasn't fully
yeah.
developed.
Well,
and
if you speak to some people in the South...
Well, I'm not talking about whether it's alive or not or whether it's a baby or not, but we're talking about human physically fully developed. The fetus is not fully developed
no.
into a human being. And so, you know, the toes are still curled. They're not,
yeah.
you know, detached out. They're not spread. If you look at the hands, it still seems to be kind of webbed.
Oh yeah,
and yeah. I couldn't get all of the pictures, unfortunately. But
I'm
you,
glad you didn't.
If you Google, go on TMZ, they have a full TMZ. Actually, once in a while they do this, but they actually put a huge disclaimer on their website, and they actually blurred out the beginning of the photo gallery because it is very sensitive.
It's a little graphic.
It's extremely graphic. I think it's they handed this out at the funeral, and I. What do you think? I mean, you guys all saw the picture.
Is she doing it for anti-abortion reasons or something?
No.
That
no.
the sentiment? No?
No. This was to
like
celebrate to her stillborn's life.
It's to remember, what's her name? Jubilee?
Jubilee.
It's okay. to remember Jubilee, and I see the sentiment, but that's not the time nor the place. It just doesn't, it's fucking weird to see that.
Because I think it completely detracts to the fact that this was a baby, that it was going to be their 20th child. I think you just kind of focus on the fact that it's not developed, that it's very awkward.
It's hard not to see it as sort of anti-abortion because that's the type of imagery that they use. Yes. And they're devout Christians. And it's
yes.
Like, and that, the
that's,
oh,
that's a given that yeah. they're anti-abortion.
I mean, that could be one way to spin it. Absolutely. I didn't listen. I didn't watch the live stream of the funeral or anything. It was a huge deal in Arkansas where their church is.
Now, actually, a lot was of a live stream?
I believe so. Either wow. that or they filmed it for their show, but that's there were cameras there.
All sorts of uncomfortable.
And I really think these pictures, and again, you got to Google this or TMZ it.
Now, I can see, I had a family member or a family friend who had a miscarriage herself. Tragic and all that. They had a funeral. They had the little baby casket, and that makes sense. But they didn't celebrate the life of, they didn't show pictures of it or her. It was a girl and all that. It's just, leave it alone. There's because no need to see pictures of...
I really think the fact that it's a fetus and it's not fully developed into a human that had eyes or an expression or anything that you could have dressed up, whether it had a favorite outfit or it really detracts that it wasn't.
Turns it into like this morbid game of pretend or something.
It wasn't a person. And by all means, I think that you should.
Oh, Travis actually has something to say. Oh,
and Travis is here. He's actually the manager of the studio.
Real quick, I'll just let you guys in on something and then I'll go back to my hole. Back during Western days, there is actually a phenomenon that was called memorial photography. If you go look it up, it is when people would die, they would embalm them and take basically family photos with them. It's something that's carried on.
Oh my God.
You actually see it quite a bit with Filipino families that still take family photos at funerals, things like that.
Okay.
Around
and
the casket.
Oh, I get it.
To commemorate the family member. And I think that this is weird too, but it's something that's been going on forever for tons and tons of time. And if you have the chance, look up memorial photography because it's creepy.
To be fair, I don't think my family's ever done that, but I can see that happening. Not my immediate family, but the
your
the outside.
Ancestry.
Yeah, they have. I'm pretty sure they have, but yeah, still fucking weird.
Now I want to deviate from this for a second because this made me actually think of an incident that happened last September where a deranged man had strapped what was believed to be explosives to himself and took people hostage in the Discovery Channel building.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
Vaguely, yes.
Wasn't he like an environmentalist or something?
He was
like
an environmentalist, and his whole claim against Discovery Channel, who we believe own TLC, which
yes,
I could be wrong,
so.
But his sentiment, because it could have been the Kate Plus 8, but this definitely ties in, is that he says that there were just too many people and that television shows like Kate Plus 8 and now the Duggards and everything were glorifying having so many children, even if you can't feed them or take care of them properly, and that we're destroying the environment.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because Travis is killing chickens.
Digitally.
Oh, I would kill a chicken in real life.
He usually just strings them up in the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Keep going. No. I was paying attention. So his sentiment was that they're glorifying
overpopulation, basically. That it was irresponsible family sizes by having so many children that you can't possibly take care of. You're therefore hurting the environment.
You know, it's not.
That's a roundabout way to be upset.
You know what's not irresponsible?
What?
Holding people hostage.
Using explosives, which is bad for the environment.
No. If you do it for the environment, then it's okay.
You know, I actually have something to tie in sort of with what you were saying with a TV show. There is a TV show called All American Muslim. Do you guys know about this one?
Yes.
Do you remember what channel it's on?
Unfortunately, no. I actually
think it's TLC.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's usually like TLC or Discovery.
So All American Muslim is about a TV
Animal
show.
Planet. Sorry.
It's on Animal Planet. You're fucked up, my friend.
No, I just said all
three of
those.
I know.
Where you get the reality shows.
I know. Discovery Health.
It's the most horrible thing that's ever been said.
Oh my gosh.
Inadvertently.
That is not worse than Twat Waffle. I said it.
Okay. No, maybe not.
Okay. But I did see All American Muslim on Anderson Cooper.
Oh, really?
On his talk show.
Okay. So All American Muslim is a show on TLC. Thank you, Ricky. Talking about, reality show about Muslims, etc. Now, Lowe's of, not just Lowe's, it's like 30 other companies too, have pulled their sponsored advertising from the TV show because they don't just support it. Now,
actually, I think the big reason I was looking about that before is because somebody, I forget which organization he's with, some
yes, it's some Christian Floridian family organization,
the usual bullshit,
complained to Lowe's. Did they complain directly to Lowe's?
No, they were complaining about the show basically because it didn't support stereotypes about jihadist Muslims.
You know, yeah, the huge thing is that they were talking about the depiction of normal, and I'm using this in quotations, normal Muslims.
But there are no normal American Muslims of which are jihadists because they're American.
Well, to be fair, there were a few who turned and have been since captured. And
but they're not. Folks. But they were not. But they
I don't
were
think
not,
they're normal.
They were not Muslim from birth either.
No, they were not Muslim from birth.
So that's
absolutely
what I'm trying
correct.
To get at.
Absolutely correct.
His literal words were like, because they don't show the other side of Islam.
Fucking bullshit, dude.
What an asshole.
No, no, you know what? That's the same thing as a person who believes in creation who wants equal time of in schools of teaching both creation and evolution.
And the only problem with that is that you can't just teach creationism. You can't favor one religion or
right.
another. I'm very pro, like, teach religion in schools. That's awesome.
Are you? I'm
but
not.
You have to teach all of them. You can't
exactly.
just peg it to one.
And where's right. the time to teach all that shit?
In
I mean,
religion
that's a,
class.
Right.
That would be awesome.
101, 201.
I mean, why do we do Greek mythology but nothing else? Come on, guys.
I'm actually with the advertisers on this one, and here's why. It's on TLC. TLC is the freak channel. You need to see freaky crap in order to watch it. You have Johnny K plus 8, right? You have like what?
Hoarders.
You have I didn't know I was pregnant. You know, this is the freak channel. You have the midget family.
Oh, that.
So, no, the whole point of TLC now is to watch freaks. You know,
so?
Of some sort. And then if you watch a normal Muslim family, it's like, no one's going
to
be watching this show.
That
Alex,
actually makes
now,
sense.
Now, if it was a show
Alex
where it's
facetious.
Like...
It, he is, but it is making
like
sense.
Like Jihad Busters, where like they blow
Jihad
up...
Jihad Busters!
Oh, no!
They show you, like, they show you houses blowing up, and they show you, like... And then maybe a cannonball flies out, but, like, you'll see...
That's Mythbusters
people
now.
Will watch that show.
Yes.
And advertisers will get customers.
Now, I do have to say that when I caught Anderson, I caught the two predominant family, the two main stars of the show, the two couples, actually. They... Really cool. I mean,
I'm
so
sure they
cool.
Are.
They're probably boring. You
are,
know,
are
like
they
just seem so normal.
Are they pretty much American?
I mean, one of the women wears the burqa, like the traditional Muslim mm-hmm. Garments and everything. I believe the husband, which is like a businessman in a suit,
the full body covering, or
yeah.
just the headdress?
You know, when she was on the show, she was wearing the headdress and she was sitting down. So I don't really remember if
was
she was covered head
headdress.
To toe, but yeah. she definitely was wearing the headdress. And the other woman, the other Muslim woman who was in the relationship, she was just kind of like punk. She just was kind of wearing t-shirt and had dark hair and dark makeup.
So assimilated.
And, yeah.
Okay. Well, and, it could be that she was just born here.
And I think what they were trying to depict was one Muslim woman who was fairly abiding by traditional Muslim standards, and then one woman who considered herself religiously Muslim mm-hmm. and, you know, wasn't really following some of the archetypes or stereotypes or whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
And they were all really funny and nice and entertaining and just... I don't know. Maybe they are too boring for TLC.
Jason, you had something to say?
Well, just one's more traditional, the other's less traditional.
Yeah, and
as
I
far
think
as
they needed that contrast.
And
yeah.
Behavior and clothing, but just as much of
so here's what I've got to say about that. So it was not just Lowe's, it was the 30 other companies that,
yes.
that pulled out. Unfortunately, they got their arm twisted because of a nonprofit organization or another organization that was putting pressure on them, so they decided to pop out, you know? My problem here is, it's sort of the Netflix effect to what I how I feel it. I canceled my Netflix membership because they were getting pressure from the movie companies because the movie companies wanted to make more sales on DVDs and stuff like that.
Yeah, so they took a bunch off streaming.
So they took a bunch right. off of streaming. They didn't release the new releases to Netflix on time. They did like 30
right,
days.
Or more than 30 days.
30 days late. Oh, almost 40, 50
I know
days.
I watch Bones. I love Bones. And season 6 came out, I think it was 2 or 3 months after
late.
It came out on DVD.
Okay. Yeah. So I can see why. And that was the reason why I didn't want to get rid of my Netflix account, but it was sort of a consequence of what's happening. I just don't see why Lowe's would cater themselves to these small organizations who obviously are bigots, you know, bigoted towards the religions or just to Muslims themselves. The fact that we're not showing jihadist American Muslims.
As if you can't see that plenty in TV and
in
movies.
TV, yeah, right.
Stereotyped
right.
or real.
Well, but that's just a thing. That's not a that's not an American Muslim stereotype, right. Really.
Yeah. I think the PR people from Lowe's were just saying, they just were trying to avoid, what's the word I'm looking for, like controversial
No,
TV
fuck
shows.
That. You know what they should have done? If they really wanted to get away from the controversy, they would have pulled out, or instead of pulling out, they would have put more money, or donated money to an American Muslim charity or whatever. That's what they should have done.
And say they're interested in the well-being of all their customers.
All their customers.
Regardless of their background.
Not because the Christian family Floridian fucking bullshit asshole
they're
said...
They're from Florida. That's
they're from Florida.
Not
no,
take them seriously.
No fucking... that's exactly the point. We shouldn't be catering to those little people. We should try to cater to all. But what Lowe should do is do exactly opposite of what they should have done. And yes, let's fulfill the advancement of Muslim Americans. Is there something controversial about that? I'm asking you guys a question. Is there? No, I mean, there really isn't. I
mean no, actually, this is really interesting. It's on the topic of bones.
Okay.
There's this one intern who is Muslim. And in the first episode where they bring him in, he's got this really thick accent. He prays,
Five times a day,
like at the Jeffersonian, at their institute. And then a few episodes later that he comes in, you actually learn that he has no accent whatsoever. He's totally American.
Oh.
And they brought him in, and he said that the reason he pretended to have an accent was because people have a problem with regular Americans, just like them, who happen to be Muslim. And he felt that he got treated better being the stereotypical Muslim rather than being just a regular
Florida complaint seems to support that.
Right. Yeah, which I think is really interesting.
Welcome back, Tiff. I don't know if you heard my argument.
No, I was listening.
Did you hear what do you think we should have... You think Lowe should have done that instead of rather just pulling out?
You know, I think that some PR teams play it too safe and that they don't really want to go against the grain of American society and kind of like Christian or Catholic fundamentals and
That's
everything.
Why this is so puzzling that like to go, it seems like you're going more against the grain of the majority of American people by listening to the small church strange.
I agree. But, you know, there's always going to be somebody who is just a little afraid of pissing off the wrong person
or pissing off the loud people.
Correct. Definitely pissing off the loud people. And I think that they thought it was a safe move, but you just kind of look at them and you go, what was so wrong? Like if you could pinpoint where they made something was uncomfortable or if they could really actually stand by their decision with some kind of proof or evidence or still or anything, even if the commentary in like the DVD that hasn't been released yet of, you know, that they didn't approve something, well, then you have a little more of a leg to stand on. But just to say that you're uncomfortable with the subject matter, well, good. That's why this show is on.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, if anything else, we're just going to see that Home Depot will gain all the sales on nails and ball bearings and not Lowe's. So whatever.
Sure. Good job, Home Depot, for not doing anything.
Well, no, again, you know, people, they like seeing things that they can, like, people don't want to see something that they don't recognize and that they can't quantify. I feel like...
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I see what you're saying.
Can you explain that a little bit more? I'm kind of puzzled by what you mean.
Right. Because it's not comfortable to see regular Muslim
people
family.
People like to know exactly what they're looking at. That's why stereotypes exist. Like they need to say, okay, well, this person, because you're Muslim, this is how you are.
Yeah.
And
they want to lump people in. Okay. And that was what you were tying into Bones and that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of like Pit Boss, what we were talking about the other TLC show.
What's that?
Where you have the little people. Is that the PC term? Little people who run the Pitbull rescue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so you have, you're like, oh, Pitbulls, they're going to eat them. And then they're like, oh, they're adorable.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. So
makes
it's not like,
comfortable.
It's like cake
It's
boss.
Like, what? Cake boss.
Cake boss.
So crazy.
I love Paul F. Tompkins.
Making cakes.
Getting bugged by a cake bug.
Fondant.
Okay. I hate that show, Cake Boss, by the way.
Really? Oh, no, but yeah. I love Cake Boff.
Cake Boff.
Moving on. So where are we going to go from here, Tiff?
I have some countdowns.
We are 45 minutes in.
Okay, so would you like to... we already hit all your topics?
I have one, just technology a little story. Technological thing that
okay,
I'm
okay, that's what
loving.
I was remembering.
So DARPA, do you know anything about DARPA? Alex, too, DARPA? DARPA is like this research...
what does it stand for? I'm really bad with acronyms, to be
Department
honest.
Department of something or other. So what?
That's probably what I know it by.
Essentially what they,
research projects, something.
Oh my God, thank you, Ricky. So
better
what they do...
Solid. They're
doing his games don't teach you anything.
Doing his part. So it's like it's a government run thing where they give money to researchers to create essentially.
Oh, was this when they were making the crazy weapons? Okay.
Not
so
always weapons, but.
No. But this was the article I think I glanced.
To think outside of the box and do things that nobody would have thought before.
Except in the video games.
Like DARPA would be a cell phone. Like cell phones would be a DARPA thing. So let's create wireless communication via satellite, this and that.
Isn't that what NASA did? Anyway. Sorry.
I'm just saying DARPA would have. Okay.
Got it.
So here from Wired magazine, you guys heard of Wired.
Yeah.
They have a military division of their magazine. Okay. So a new plan to combat nerve gas, because nerve gas can be very terrible.
Awesome.
Something that, well, when you deploy it the correct way.
It's fun.
A plan that involves harvesting human liver enzymes while growing them inside of tobacco plants. So what they're doing is...
Interesting.
So they want to make an antidote that treats chemical warfare. normally how medications work with nerve gas and stuff like that is just to mask the symptoms.
Okay.
So usually, let's see, let me get it correct. Okay. Currently, antidotes don't actually break down nerve agents. Instead, they target the symptoms of neurotoxicity, which include convulsions, vomiting, wheezing, and of course, death. And they're accompanied by plenty of side effects. Obviously, blurred vision, heart palpitations, incapacitation, and delirium of all sorts.
Just sounds like my Saturday night.
All right. Yeah. DARPA wants an antidote that can be administered in combat without knocking a soldier out of commission. So essentially, taking these chemicals, breaking them down to its safe components without debilitating the person who needs to use it. Now, why they're putting it in tobacco plants is what they might do is what Wired is thinking is they're gonna put the chemicals in bacteria, put the bacteria into tobacco plants to infect the plants.
Okay.
So the plants can start making the chemicals and extracting it from the tobacco. We're doing it now with our flu shots and stuff like that. Where it would take normally about 5 months to or months to harvest the vaccine chemicals, it would really only take about 5 weeks because of how fast plants germinate and spawn.
Okay.
So they didn't say anything about how much it's going to cost or how much they awarded the contract or anything like that, but they're looking for also nanotechnology that would sort of Borg. Like how the Borg work.
Like nanites.
Like how the Borg work when you kill one Borg with a weapon, you can't kill them all anymore because they all assimilate and they can't be killed by it.
Okay.
Well, they're trying to make insta vaccines that can thwart just about any bug. So any new bug, the nanotechnology in your body will actually counteract whatever chemical that is induced.
That's kind of scary.
Scary?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's a cool thing?
Just how powerful it is, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Just how, well, I guess. I mean, I think it's phenomenal. I think if we give our own soldiers or everyone a leg up on chemical technology, chemical weaponry and all that, all the better.
Yeah, because, I mean, I studied terrorism for a little bit in my undergraduate, and I think what they were really focusing on, especially in my undergrad, was that the wave of the future for terrorism and just warfare itself is going to be chemical and biological, is something that hasn't been perfected. Cyber terrorism is something that's talked about, but that's going to take a lot longer to perfect. What's difficult about chemical and biological is just...
It's unwieldy.
Yeah. Is containing and deploying.
We've been doing it since World War One. We still haven't really completely.
Well, I mean, medieval times, there were flinging dead bodies with infections over castle walls. So it's not a new concept. It's just perfecting it. It can be very, very lethal and very effective.
Well,
I think that's why it's so hard.
You've read all those books, or may have read those books, where they make a virus that only targets a certain population and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure there are medical researchers who are trying this, but not in the bad way, but in the good context, in that helping out people who are prone to diabetes or heart disease and giving them medications that would actually thwart.
They were actually doing this in leukemia patients recently. They just found, 8 or 9, genetic mutations that are causing leukemia, and they're identifying them. So that's just, one of these applications.
They introduced a virus to attack the cancer, right?
I didn't read fully through. I saw it and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
It was like risking the cleared body of leukemia, I think.
Whoa.
Isn't that insane?
And they're like, whoa, this could really
work.
Is
that the thing where it's based off an AIDS virus?
Yeah, based off an AIDS virus, I think.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's just kind of the stuff that you're talking about where changing, modifying, and deploying it correctly.
All the better. I mean, great. DARPA has done many great things
for
not only the military, but also the civilian population, too. Yeah. All the power to them. I think we should spend more money on DARPA, whatever.
Sure, let's do it.
I'm just saying. Less on the military, more on DARPA. Even though DARPA's military.
Development's all right, worth it.
Moving on, let's have fun.
So are we going to wrap it up? Yeah. We're going to cap it off, and we are going to talk about the 7 wealthiest porn stars of all time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Now,
include me then?
I did not see you on the list. Sorry. But
things we need to find out.
We may have to do a recap.
I can't say I've ever beat off to your porn before. So
these are a few things to keep in mind when we're guessing. This is the top 7 people, male and female.
Oh, so no animals.
No animals. Okay. I'm sorry. They left out donkeys.
Oh, man.
So, well,
Kistak porn horses are not on the list.
Oh, that's right. Wow. That's taking it back.
So it's the 7 wealthiest porn stars of all time. There are some international. There is one name I do not recognize on this list.
I can help you with that.
I'm looking to you over there. And instead of trying to guess, we're going to go one by one because I'm sure we're all going to hit one nail on the head or another. But it's fun to go one by one so that we can try to guess it. I'll read off some fun facts that are listed in the I have. If no one can guess.
We're going to do a little name that porn star.
Name that porn star. So number 7 on this list. She became notorious in 1999.
Jenna Jameson.
After this gangbang where she consecutively slept with 620 men.
Oh.
Who is that porn star?
Oh. Isn't her last name like Sinclair or something like that?
It is a one name, like a Madonna.
China.
No. And I've beat off to China.
1999, guys. 1999.
I remember the story. I have no idea who it is.
600 dudes.
620.
British or American?
I believe she is American.
Oh.
Also in 1999, a radio station set this porn star up with a prom date who was 18 years old. The two moved to California to continue their relationship.
Oh, cute.
Was the prom date male or female?
The prom date was male.
We can assume he's male. Oh, man. I don't know that many single named.
I believe it was in 2003. Could be wrong because I'm not seeing it on this bio. But this porn star cut off part of her labia and had it auctioned off.
I would have bought it.
You couldn't afford it.
I know. Hey, fuck you, Ricky.
At the heights of this porn star's fame, she would receive $20,000 for a week's worth of strip club appearances.
Oh, so she was a feature. I know these terms. Oh, you know what? I'm blanking on it. I'm sorry.
Her name is Houston.
Houston.
I've heard that name.
Biggest gangbang 3, the Houston 500.
She's a blondie bear, is she not?
She is a blondie bear,
okay,
yes.
She's got big lips and big tits.
Yes.
Okay.
All of which might be real.
And not so big a labia anymore, I guess.
Not so big. Nice one.
Okay, I've beat off to her before.
Okay. So this next, number 6, she has won several AVN awards, including Gonzo Amateur Films, performing rough anal sex.
Nice.
In 2005, she was upgraded, starring a large budget feature, Dark Side with Penny Flame. This porn star is known for her blonde teen performances.
Who is Brie Olsen?
Wrong.
Oh, fuck. Blonde teen.
Although that was a good guess, though.
Thank you.
I mean, all of that would add up to Brie as well.
It would.
However, not true.
Blonde.
She squandered too much of her money on Coke and Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
Sorry.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Talk to me, Brie, when you get this.
I don't know if this will give it away, but she signed a $1 million contract with Sex Z Pictures.
Sexy. She's blonde, teeny.
Mm-hmm. Teeny.
Teeny.
This is a two-part name.
Two-part
first
name.
First and last. Not
can you,
real, of
can
course.
Can you give me initials, please?
H.S.
Homer Simpson.
Blonde.
You know, I'm blanking on it. I don't know.
Hillary Scott.
Oh, you know, I she's like irrelevant.
I don't know enough porn star names, I think.
Hopefully.
I do, but yeah, I wouldn't have thought about Hillary Scott.
I have seen a porn star at the Burbank Airport. And
I've seen a couple.
I wonder if he is on the list.
I've seen a couple in Burbank itself.
Well, now we're hitting the top five.
Okay.
This is the one I did not know.
Okay.
She was a Japanese teen pop star before she went into adult entertainment.
Okay.
She is the most recognized and highest paid porn star in Japan, and she had a contract with Max A for $2.6 million. Who is that porn star? She goes by two different names, so you may know her by one of each.
Was she in Wayne's World?
I do not believe so, but good question.
Is it a total Japanese name?
Absolutely. Actually, the first name could be deemed Hispanic.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I looked at that too.
Initials, please.
For the one that I just mentioned is M.T. The other name she goes by is R.I.
Mika Tan. Mika Tan?
No.
Oh, balls. No. Who, by the way, is pretty fucking hot.
Maria Tagagi?
Never heard of her.
Or she goes by Rika Ino?
Oh, Rika Ino? Yes, okay. I know that. I-N-O-U-E?
Yes.
Okay, see?
There we go.
Told
okay.
you.
All right. At number four, this number man four. Needs no introduction because he is the man who made the most appearances in adult films.
RJ?
He is Ron Jeremy.
Of course.
That is who I saw the Burbank Airport.
Nice.
Oh, good. Nice. Yes.
What does he go by? The Hedgehog, right?
Hedgehog. And he is on our fourth spot.
Number four.
Moving down to three, this woman is also blonde. She has her own line of sex toys. This may give it away. This will give it away to Travis in the background, so hopefully he doesn't say anything.
Mm.
Her heightened popularity was brought by her feature in Pirates.
Pirates. I've seen it once.
The porn version, obviously.
Of course.
Yes. She was inspired to enter the porn industry after reading an article on Tara Patrick's success.
Oh, I love Tara Patrick. Blonde, fake boobs?
Absolutely.
I think
skinny type, model type?
Yes.
No. It was after her time. It was after Jenna Jameson's time. I know for a fact that's not Brie Olsen.
Travis,
she wasn't in any of the, correct? She wasn't
No, that's correct.
Travis is shaking his head. He's one guess.
She wasn't in the Pirates movies.
If you can't guess it, I'm sure Travis
would like
to guess.
Can you give me initials?
Johnny Depp.
JD.
JJ.
Abrams?
Ew. I wouldn't want to see his anything.
Okay, if Travis wants
to shout
ahead.
It
Travis,
from the back.
Go ahead,
Travis, you got it?
No, I don't got it.
You don't have it?
Okay.
I don't know their names. I just know the sound it makes when I masturbate.
What a callback to Tropic Thunder. Good job.
Jessie Jane.
Oh, see, I don't jack off to her very much. Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
For the fact that she's not 12 years old. What? Shut up.
This woman first appeared in Playboy and Penthouse before she was Pet of the Month and entered the porn industry.
Keep
her
going.
Production company is worth $30 million, though it only releases 15 films a year.
Huh.
her production company has set the record for fastest selling Hustler release ever.
Damn.
This porn star re-entered Playboy TV by hosting School of Sex.
I don't watch Playboy TV, so I wouldn't know.
She is the number two porn star on our list.
She started in Playboy, went into porn, then went back to Playboy?
Yep, sounds about right.
Initials, please.
TP.
Tara Patrick.
Tara Patrick is number two.
My absolute favorite.
She has Tara Vision.
Tara Vision, yes.
Interactive. Interactive.
Yeah, Interactive, yes.
Yeah, she is.
I should have asked you her vitals. Then boobs and Asian, and I would have known that exact.
All right. And our number one spot, we all know, the queen of porn, is?
Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson. And that rounds out our list. The only name a lot of people know, and that is why she's the queen.
She's a crossover star.
Her and Ron Jeremy are still the only two porn stars to start in porn and cross over successfully to become pop culture icons.
Pop culture, sure.
Or at least recognizable. Maybe not icons to some.
Very recognizable.
Very recognizable.
Even not in porn,
Can we have
very
some stats on how much she makes?
On Jenna Jameson? She's worth a lot. She's worth a shit ton.
Let's see.
Is it too much to mention?
I'm sure they would say it if it was...
By 1996, even though she entered porn in 1993, she won top newcomer from all three major porn movie organizations.
Oh, wow.
She founded Club Jenna in 2000.
TV channel.
With another. So far, it just says that Club Jenna has profited over $15 million.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and that was as of 2010.
Nice.
Not bad.
So there's nothing like per scene or per movie like it was with Tara, but $15 million. That's not bad. 15, 1-5.
Huh.
Not bad. And I think we're ending on a high note.
On a high note?
On a very high note.
Indeed.
With the wealthiest porn stars of all time.
Indeed.
Yes.
So we're going to call it a night with that?
I think we're calling
it. One more list? I would like to go with one more list.
You want to go one more list?
What else do you have?
Okay, so if we're going to do one more, you choose between most dangerous cities in the U.S. or the most expensive natural disasters in the United States.
Fielder's choice, guys. Dangerous cities? We'll go with dangerous cities.
Okay.
I think I already know some of this.
Number one, Oakland, California.
Now, another disclaimer about these is that it is based on the National Incident-Based Reporting System, and it's violent crimes per 100,000.
Per 100,000
residents. So it's violent crimes per 100,000 residents.
So that would be a deca capita?
I guess.
I guess they wouldn't want to call it that, would they?
Yeah. All right. So unfortunately, I don't have stats or anything. I couldn't copy and paste. It was one of those rolling slideshows. So I just had to write all of this stuff down. Okay. So it's not going to be as scientific or statistically correct.
We can handle that.
So okay, I'm sorry, we'll give you names and you'll give us the numbers, assuming it's on there.
Okay. Yeah. You want to start this way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Starting at number one, or AJ's pick. Oakland, California.
Not on the list.
Not on the list.
Not in the top 10.
I've got one more before we go on. Let's go with Houston, Texas.
Not on the list.
Fuck.
There is both Texas and California have at least one city
Okay.
on the list.
Detroit,
Michigan.
The most dangerous city in the United States.
That fucking makes sense.
Yeah. So there's our number one. Thanks for ruining it, Alexis.
Number one.
I'm thinking either Los Angeles or Sacramento.
Mm.
Oh, no. Stockton's on
Stockton.
There.
Stockton? Maybe. California.
Or Modesto?
Or Modesto, yeah.
No, it's not that populated.
The only California city is Stockton.
Nice.
Now, do you know why, since we are all residents
because
of California?
Because of the Stockton Hey Buddy.
There's a... Isn't That's there a,
all because of Nick Diaz.
Driven through Stockton, and I know there's a jail there. Is it possibly due to that jail?
No.
There are other reasons.
It's Nick and Nate Diaz.
They cause all the crime.
Yeah.
What are the two most prevalent reasons why there are violent crimes in Stockton, California?
The cheese.
The 5 freeway runs right through, and it is the biggest access point for running drugs from Mexico
to the northern states.
Oregon, yeah. Washington.
So there's a lot of drug trafficking, and also there's another huge trade that runs through Stockton. Sex trade.
Really?
Huge in Stockton.
Really?
There was a bus.
Prostitution?
Not so much, but more of like
trafficking.
Human trafficking.
I was in Stockton once. I went to a Target. And yeah.
Don't ever do that again. And Stockton is ranking number 7 on our list, so it's not even the most dangerous. But it's in the top 10.
Okay, so you say there is one more other Texas city.
Yes, there's only one other Texas city.
I don't think it's Dallas. Not Dallas. Houston would be my first. What would be...
Not going to be San Antonio. That's fine. No.
What, Arlington? No. No way.
One of those border cities, maybe?
Oh, Juarez, Texas.
Juarez is in Mexico. You shut your mouth.
May as well be in Texas.
Okay, do we know which city in Texas?
I can't think of a good one.
Waco?
Yeah.
No, come on. There,
Lubbock.
Lubbock.
Lubbock, Texas. Where is it? Is it on the border?
Or yeah.
What it is that it is a major hit point because there is an interstate that runs right from Mexico into Texas.
Okay, yes.
So unfortunately, I don't know. I'm not from Texas. I don't know that interstate name, but that is what I notated, is that it's running to and from. So it's a waypoint.
I've got one in the Midwest coming all the way from Kansas. Topeka, Kansas.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
No.
Dude, there's so much fucking drugs and...
meth or something?
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Nothing?
I have a guess.
Fuck.
Nothing.
Washington, D.C.
You know what? I'm surprised that it's not there.
They cleaned it up.
They don't have enough people to be on the list.
Oh, that's why.
That it's really the amount.
I think they also cleaned it up a bit. It's like a lot of some of it's been gentrified, some of the poor neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah, so I that was one of my guesses too when I was reading through this. It's not on there.
What about something like Minneapolis or St. Paul? Those are giant cities.
Chicago, right? Illinois.
None of those three.
Fuck. No.
There's like two more Michigan places on there, right? Little small spots or something.
There is no more Michigan.
Oh, which city is 8 Mile in?
There are two Illinois.
That might be Stockton, actually.
I'm sorry. No, it's Detroit.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. There is one more Michigan. I'm sorry.
Michigan.
Oh, okay.
It is in it Troy? Is number 4, actually.
Not Troy. Because Troy's pretty fucking messed up.
How bad is Manhattan?
Not bad. Not bad.
Okay.
Not bad at all. Too many whites.
I just don't like it there. Maybe I'm just biased.
Could be. You said one more in Michigan?
There's one more in Michigan, and okay. Illinois has got some that we haven't covered yet.
Illinois. Not Chicago. Not Chicago?
Not Chicago. No, no, no.
Aurora?
Aurora, Illinois?
No.
Not up on my Illinois cities.
Rockford.
Rockford, Illinois.
Okay, the problem with Rockford is that there's a lot of other migration from other cities in Illinois or the tri-state area. And so the violent crimes are from people either running drugs through as a waypoint to like Detroit or other places, Chicago. And that's why, because it's used as a waypoint for drugs, which was the big violent...
That seems to be to be a common theme here.
Right. I was just thinking that.
Drug trafficking is a huge, huge reason.
I mean, that's
reason.
Why I said Topeka.
Yeah.
Sorry, how far are we? How many are we missing?
We're missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Really?
We're missing 6. We're not doing very well.
We're missing all of them. Oh, wait. Top 10 or top 7?
Top 10.
Oh,
so
okay.
We've only guessed 4.
Okay. Okay.
And 3 because I gave you one. Actually, I gave you 2. You only guessed 2. Yeah. Okay.
Newark, New Jersey.
No.
Why not? It's just bullshit over
just
there.
Sucks.
Okay, Michigan. Let's go back to Michigan. Okay. It's number 4 on the list.
God, it's probably remember. A city we've never
I
heard
think
of.
Michael Moore's from there. It's I could
a,
be wrong.
It's a little...
Flint.
Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
Flint! Alex's face just
I have
lit
family
up.
In Troy, which is near Flint.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know, yes. Alex is just such a big fan of Michael
of
Moore. That he knows
loves
everything
Michael
about
Moore.
Him, right?
Totally. He's
so,
the most
yes.
honest guy ever.
Okay.
Flint, Michigan is
Flint,
huge.
He's honest,
yeah.
He's handsome.
It's right there near Detroit.
Yeah, it's another one of those cities and with an interstate through it.
Pretty close
and
to
he's
it, yeah.
very generous.
Oh, it's by the their
Moore.
Football stadium.
Yes.
Actually, yeah.
Yes, 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 yes.
So that makes sense, you know, football
All right.
players.
We're missing a huge state with a very iconic city.
Michael Moore's hat.
Oh, my gosh. known for Sin.
Oh,
Michael
Vegas.
Moore, really?
So Nevada?
Las Vegas, Nevada. There's a lot of high turnover rate, so there's a lot of squatters.
Oh.
So, yeah. Also, it's Sin City, so gambling and robberies. There's a lot of robberies, a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs, a lot of prostitution.
Loan sharking.
But it's only number 9 on the list.
Huh. Wow.
Because not a lot of people live there anymore.
No, that's true. Who wants to live in Las
Vegas?
Well,
it's the middle of the desert. There's not much there.
Okay, what about if we go to Florida?
Tallahassee. T-Pain.
Tallahassee, Florida.
That's why I thought that way.
Again, that's a huge place for drug running from south to north.
Oh, really? Oh, huge, yeah. Miami, then Cuba. Yeah. Okay. Cuba.
All right, number 5. If I give you the state, it's going to be very obvious which city this is.
Okay, give us a region.
West in the northern area.
Northwest?
Northwest. Portland. I wasn't trying to be, because that was too. No.
Anchorage?
Yes. Okay. Anchorage, Alaska. Not a lot of people, but a lot of tourism and a lot of violent robberies.
I didn't think that there were that many people in Anchorage.
A lot of hunting
Alaska.
Accidents.
A lot of suicides.
Yeah, it gets dark up there.
Yeah.
That was actually number 5 on the list.
Wow.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that beat Las Vegas.
Does the violence of the suicide affect these statistics?
No.
How gruesome it is.
Because suicide is not a violent statistic.
Okay, we only have 2 that we're missing.
Okay.
One is in Illinois and one is in Tennessee.
God damn it.
What do we have?
Tennessee.
Knoxville?
No.
No.
That's too country.
No, that's...
It's not rock and roll enough.
Yeah. And there's a military base there, isn't there?
I just know the like country...
Nashville?
No.
Nashville? No. No.
This was a... I actually guessed this
more
one.
More cities in Tennessee?
Memphis.
Oh,
Memphis. Duh. Yeah, Memphis.
Very
is not
white
safe.
Trashy.
Memphis is not
That's
safe.
True.
Okay, and I don't know if we're going to guess this, but Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, because of Homer Simpson. Because of all
you should have. No, you should have.
Okay, so just to run down this list, it was 10, Rockford, Illinois. 9 was Las Vegas, Nevada. 8 was Tallahassee, Florida. 7, Stockton, California. 6 was Lubbock, Texas. 5, Anchorage, Alaska. 4 is Flint, Michigan, with our friends, Michael Moore.
Hey, buddy.
3 is Springfield, Illinois. Memphis, Tennessee comes in at number 2. And the most dangerous city in the U.S. is Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit.
How many years in a row now?
All of them.
165. So yes, that's
very
kind of
nice.
A depressing note to end that on, is... though. Why did you have to ruin
it's
it?
It's okay.
We went from porn stars to violent crimes, which I guess...
Oh, because they go hand in hand.
I guess they go hand in hand if you ask Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz.
Vegas is on the list.
Yeah.
And Vegas is on the list.
Kind of a porny place, isn't it?
Well, no, Tito lives in Newport.
Oh, that's right.
Huntington, excuse me. Yeah.
If you really wanted to end it on a horrible note, we could go to the natural disasters. I have figures and casualties.
Let's see. We're about hour 12 in. We can go one more.
Okay, we'll go one more, and then we'll call it an...
We promise. We'll call it a night.
We'll call it after this one.
Okay.
We just have to get through all of our stuff. Okay.
So,
featured on MSN Money, sponsored by Bankrate.com, we have
I'm sorry, was it bank rape?
I'm sorry, rates.
Okay.
My nose is stuffy. Okay, so 10 down. Now, I will tell you, since we're in California and we don't get weather and we don't get huge natural disasters, I didn't remember part of these. I know. Knock on wood on the last one that we don't separate.
Mr. San Andreas.
I know.
Yep.
Okay, so I will tell you that the first 3 are all hurricanes. I'm going to give you the year, and you're going to guess what hurricane it was.
Okay.
Because I've heard of all of them. I can't tell you that I would have guessed these 3. So
why
at number
hurricanes always named after women, by the way?
No,
actually
alternate.
Actually,
I can tell you one right
two
now.
Two out of three.
The famous one was Andrew.
I was going to say Hurricane Andrew. Hurricane Andrew!
Okay, so at number 10, we had a hurricane from 2000.
Answer for Sonia's question.
What was Sonia's question?
Why they're always named after women.
Because we're bitches.
Because they come in all wet and wild. When they leave, they take your house and your car.
Thank you for that, Ricky.
Ricky just went there.
You really did.
Ricky really went there.
Travis, did you really miss that sniper?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude. Come on. Get your head in the game, Travis.
Okay, number 10. This hurricane blasted Alabama, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas in 2004.
Hurricane Katrina!
You really think that would be number 10?
Was it 2004?
That was not even 2004 either.
It was like 2006.
Irene.
Come on, Irene. No, that was like earlier
this year.
Yeah, see, we're in California.
Yeah, we don't know this. Okay, so Hurricane Ivan was in 2004.
Ivan, right. Oh, I don't even remember.
It caused $16.7 billion in damages and claimed the lives of 57 people.
That's right. That one was sort of strange because it came into Texas pretty deep, right?
Yeah.
That one was weird about it?
Yeah.
If I remember right. And they were worried about coastal flooding and stuff.
Yes. And I'm really impressed that you remember that since we live in California.
I have a weird weather thing.
Okay, well then I hope you guess number 9.
I'm bad with names.
This
though,
list.
So
this list is all in the U.S.?
All in the U.S., okay, yes, okay. Yes. All in the U.S. Okay, so number 9 is another hurricane, also hit in 2004. This impacted Florida, North Carolina, and South Carolina. It is a male name. Sonia, if you want to guess that.
Hurricane Penis.
The malest of males.
Also known as Hurricane Charlie, that caused $17.9 billion in damages.
I don't remember that.
But
racist?
But what?
No.
How is that racist?
It's not racist at all.
Never mind.
Charlie. Oh, you mean like you calling him Asian?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Here is a female hurricane that hit in 2005 and really only impacted Florida.
Oh, I could
hurricane
see
Hurricane Rita?
No. Oh. Nice guess, though.
You're just saying that because of Dexter. Florida.
Oh. It was Hurricane Wilma. I actually...
Wilma?
That one was not on my radar.
Because no one cared about Florida.
And it caused $18.6 billion in damage, but it only claimed the life of 35 people.
Oh, good. Not bad.
Which, on this list, it gets bad.
Oh.
Okay. Hurricane at number 7 impacted Louisiana and Texas. $27.4 billion in damage, over 100 deaths.
What was the guy's name?
It was. We might have mentioned it, to be honest.
So it was Andrew then?
No, Andrew was
Andrew
was that hit Florida. That was like 90 something.
Yeah.
Hurricane Bill?
No.
I don't know.
Hurricane Ike.
Oh, Ike, of course.
Yes, that was in 2008.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this, it impacted a region. And there's no name given to it, but it's at number 6. And I don't even know how to properly describe this to you other than the central U.S. got really wet.
There's always flooding in
El Nino, then.
It was, but you know what? It's just called Midwest floods.
There's
like
always
there was
flooding.
No like rain or tropical storm that was named
that
after it.
It happens every
it
year.
It was in 1993.
Oh gosh!
It's caused $32.8 billion in damages and claimed 48 lives.
Wow.
I don't even know how to describe that
I
to
was
you
in
for
elementary
you to guess.
School. I don't really remember that.
Yeah. All right, so next is in 1992, this hurricane slammed into Florida and Louisiana, claimed over 60 lives, but caused $43.5 billion in damages.
Ooh. What year?
Lord have mercy.
1992, and it was a hurricane, a male hurricane at that.
Ooh.
This must be Andrew.
This is Andrew.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Andrew. Oh.
The year seemed right to me. Yeah, for
Okay, so here's another one. This hit in 1980. It is not a hurricane. It's not really a named natural disaster that has any feminine or masculine identifications. It was just huge. It impacted central and eastern U.S. It was a drought and a heat wave.
Huh.
And that was in 1980. It caused $54.8 billion in damages because of farms
crop
and
losses,
and just water shortages and all that. And it's said here to claim 10,000 lives.
Wow.
I don't know how they quantified that, and I was a little taken aback by this. But
that might be a tricky thing to quantify,
Was it okay, coming in at number 3, this happened in 1994 in California.
Northridge
earthquake.
I slept through it.
I did not.
I got pulled out of bed.
I was at the top of a bunk bed.
Oh. On here, it said it impacted California. I think it really only impacted Southern California.
Yeah.
Like the Northridge Mall.
$67 billion in damages. There's the cap.
They won out.
Yeah. Only 60 people died. So for this being number 3 and being one of the worst fiscal
that natural apartment disaster. Complex collapsed. I remember that.
Yeah,
that
the apartment cool. complex collapsed. The freeway collapsed.
Well, they had to rebuild
the freeway
the whole
pancake.
Parking
structure collapsed.
Yeah, that too.
Did you guys ever get those T-shirts that said "I survived the 6.6"?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so at number two is another drought and heat wave. This one was in 1988. It impacted central and eastern U.S., again, missing us, even though I think we were all alive at this time.
Yes.
We're dating ourselves. Was, yeah. We're dating ourselves.
Oh, God.
Damage, $76.4 billion.
Damn.
Wow.
Now, what's weird about this figure, and for it to come in at number two is kind of makes me raise an eyebrow, it says deaths between 5 and 10,000. So the,
they're not sure.
They're not sure. But they know how much it costs.
Yeah.
And there's no real, like, name to this or, I mean, they give us a really big region. So I just really questioned that coming in at number two. But we have reached our number one spot.
Coming in at number one.
Everybody's favorite disaster.
I have a guess for this, and I think it includes San Francisco.
No.
Oh.
No?
Really?
No.
That's surprising.
The levees done broke.
Levees done broke.
They didn't break. They were bombed.
Hurricane Katrina in 2005 impacted Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi. We can argue some parts of Texas, even though it's not stated on here.
Why not?
Damages, $145 billion.
Good God.
Over 1,800 people lost.
Damn.
I never had a sense of how deadly it was. That's a lot.
Yeah. So there you have it. The most depressing note we could end on.
Yes.
Well, not so depressing. There's a kitten around here.
Thanks for bringing it down.
Yeah, there is a kitten around here now. That's true. So that's kind of
and
adorable.
With that, we leave you kittens.
We leave you with kittens.
That's true.
And that is the Tug and Pull podcast from...
Los Angeles.
Burbank.
Twat Waffle.
From the Pussy Palace.
No. From the Twat Waffle Emporium.
Oh, excuse me. So if you want to get a hold of us, we should be getting our Twitter and our website up soon-ish. If anything, I'm going to put it on the before show or after show little bumper.
Some handles up.
There are cats playing.
I don't know how to end this podcast. How am I going to say this? I will say...
thank you for listening.
You could say bye.
I will say thank you for listening. Enjoy the podcast. If you don't like what you heard, go fuck yourself.
And stay fabulous.